It's good to see everyone tonight, and I'll tell you, David, you don't get any more classic than that. I asked him a while ago, he said he was going to sing some old songs and or some classics, and I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, some old songs. And I said, oh, okay, I guess that's all right. But what really shook me up was the other day I asked Bernie, I said, Bernie, what do you think of Millie, really? Tell me what you think. He said, she's a classic. But anyway, I... But anyway, we do appreciate your being here tonight. It's a great evening, wonderful evening. By the way, someone told me that it's going to snow again on Wednesday. I think it is. And they were saying in the Dallas area they were supposed to get maybe an inch or so, but it was coming south across from Waco. I know you didn't ask for this meteorological information, but I thought I'd just share it with you just in case you're planning to come Wednesday night. And I'll make sure Audrey is here to have the building open. But anyway, we will be here, Lord willing. And I was just thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful for you to show up here, even if it snows, where you could be able to tell your children and your grandchildren you came to church even when it snowed to get here, you were here. So anyway, we hope that the weather will permit us to be here. If not, then we'll make other arrangements. But we are glad you're here tonight. David does a great job, doesn't he? I mean, he really, really does. And I think he could have preached also. But Jennifer told me he did that at home. But anyway, I'm not sure we'd want to hear that sermon here. But at any rate, he does a great job. I want to talk to you tonight, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John, the 10th chapter. In John, the 10th chapter, I want to talk to you about a classic story that's found in the New Testament. And it's a story that's over 2,000 years old, but it still is fresh tonight, and I hope to present this with an aura of freshness. And it's a story about Jesus and his description of himself as the shepherd. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, he is our shepherd. And long before Jesus identifies himself here as the shepherd, David calls him the shepherd. And by the way, he is called the shepherd numerous times in the Bible. I want to talk to you tonight about the assurance of God's presence. You know, I can't think of anything probably those of us who are Christians, and I would say by and large those of us that are meeting here tonight are. But you know, we all have to be reassured of the presence of God every day. I mean, it's comforting to me to be able to go to the Bible and reassure myself of that. I think one thing we lack sometimes in our life is the assurance of the presence of God. Sometimes we feel like God is standing aloof from us, that he's not really intertwined within our lives, and that he's out here somewhere observing what's going on, but he's not here with us when we're going through difficult times or even when we're going through joyous times. We kind of feel like God is out there and he's looking on from the portals of glory. But in the book of Matthew 28, the Bible says, Jesus himself speaking, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will be by you." You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is in the Greek language, the paraclete. He is the one who stands by. Well, the Lord is the one who stands by us as well. I said something to someone the other day, and really not jestingly, but I just said something to him. I said, "Look, we're standing behind you." And he said, "You know what? I don't need somebody to stand behind me. I need somebody to stand with me." And I got to thinking about that. Don't we all need someone who stands with us, not behind us? And that's where I think God is tonight. He is with us. And I want us to read, and it's a little bit lengthy reading, but I want us to read down to the 18th verse. And then we're going to come back and deal with it. In John 10, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and they leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And this parable, the Bible says, Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things he spake unto them. And so then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, that they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And wherefore doth my Father love me? Because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. And no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus is called, believe it or not, the Good Shepherd more than anything else in all of the Bible. Did you know that? He's called the light. He said, I'm the light of the world, John chapter 8, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. He's called by a number of things, but the word shepherd is the word that more than anything else characterizes or embodies the very nature of our Lord and our Savior. And so I want to talk to you tonight about this assurance of God's presence. Three things I want to tell you. First of all is the fact that God will guide us when we need direction. Do you ever pray for God to guide you? You know, we say that sometimes, and we say it so superfluous when we say it. I want God to guide me. And we sing songs like, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim through this barren land. We talk about the fact that we want God to guide, guard, and direct us. And by the way, that's what we're going to be talking about here tonight. He does guide us. Do you know that God, someone asked me, do you really believe in the divine leading of God? I don't think God leads in any other way. I think God does guide us. I think he leads us. He puts us where we need to be. I'm going to tell you something every day, and I've told you this before. There's nothing mystical about this, but I pray about it, and I say, God, I want you to put me where I need to be today. And God does that. God leads me, and he'll lead you. I mean, I'm no different than you. God will lead you just as he leads me. We often sing songs like, He leadeth me, O blessed thought. And that is a blessed thought, isn't it? To know that the Lord really leads us. What does Jesus look for when he sees sheep? You know, we look, there are a number of things that we look at when we gather on Sunday, or whether it's on Sunday night or Wednesday night or whatever it is. Most generally, I would say probably on Sunday morning, there are things that we look at. We have a tendency sometimes to look at the outward appearance. People look at what other people are wearing. I've already had all kind of comments about my tie today. And I asked him, I said, you remember what I preached on? No, but I remember that tie. But anyway, you know, we have a tendency to look on the outside. We look at what people are wearing. We do. What kind of shoes they have on. How they fix their hair. Just all kinds of things. In Bible times, did you know that every sheep had a name? How many of you ever had animals like cows or pigs or whatever you named? Anybody? We did. We were growing up. I grew up on a farm, and we had cows and calves, and we named those calves. And oddly enough, you could call their name, and those things would come running to you. They would. You know, I don't know what they named them. I'm sure it wasn't George, Bill, John, or Jack, or whatever, but I mean, they had names. And so when Jesus says that, he says, I know my sheep. I know their name. And they know my name as well. In Matthew 9:36, when Jesus looked out, the Bible says, over Jerusalem, he saw the multitude and was moved with compassion because they looked as though they were sheep without a shepherd. You know what Jesus would see in Palestine? He'd see a lot of things. He saw sheep that were left to themselves, and he would see them as they would wander off and maybe move away from the shepherd. And they lost their sense of direction. And that's what sheep do. They just kind of wander off. They don't deliberately stray. They wander off. And that's what happens to us. You know, the Bible calls us sheep. We are. We are the sheep of his pasture, according to the book of Psalms, chapter 100, and other passages in the Old Testament. I'm told that Winston Churchill, during World War II, believe it or not, in Germany, they actually had signs that identified different towns. And they didn't have city limit signs like we had, but they did have a sign up that said, this is a certain community that you're moving into. Well, anyway, Churchill had, in Germany, had the troops to go through, and he would remove, actually, the sign that said this particular community. And so when the enemy would invade, then they didn't know where they were. They had no idea where they were. And sometimes in life, that's the way we are. We wander through life. And we fail to realize that we're wandering. Sometimes we wander off. People wander off into alcohol. They wander off the cliff into drugs and extramarital relationships like Tiger Woods and others. Jesus called himself a shepherd, not a cowboy. Now, there's a difference between a cowboy and a shepherd. A cowboy drives cattle. John Wayne was no shepherd. He was a cowboy, but Jesus was a shepherd, and he led sheep, and the sheep followed him. In Psalms 80 and verse 1, David said, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, those that leadest Joseph like a flock. He does guide us. Let me tell you, and let me suggest you do this tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, or you can do it tonight when you go to bed. Ask for God to lead you tomorrow. He may lead you places you have never been. He may lead you where you thought you'd never be. But I believe and I'm convinced he leads us. When we pray about it, and I do, I say, God, I pray about it every day. Lord, lead me. Put me where I need to be today. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord will do that. And he will put you where you need to be. And, you know, I really seriously believe that if we don't do that, then we're just out here adrift on the sea of life somewhere. I want to be where God wants me to be, don't you? Don't you really want to be where God wants you to be? I don't want to chart my course. I'll mess it up. I'll get lost. But when I allow God to chart the course and when I allow him to guide me, he will. But then there's another thing we need to know. We often pray about it. God, guard, guide. And direct us. He not only guides us, but he guards us. He guards the sheep. Didn't Jesus say in this text, he said, I will lay down my life for the sheep. Four times, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Verse 11, verse 15, verse 17, and verse 18. And he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Sheep are defenseless. You ever considered that, the fact that, you know, how does a sheep fight back? He doesn't. You know, dogs can bite, and cats can scratch. I still don't know why God created one of those animals, but skunks can stink, but sheep are left defenseless. And you know what? One of the strangest things about all this is God never ever kept sheep from wild prey. He didn't. He never kept them from wild prey, from the bears, from the lions. But you know what? Nothing could touch them without the permission of God. You ever really stop to think about that? I mean, nothing can touch you without God permitting it to happen. And even animals, it can't happen. In 2 Timothy 4:18, the Bible says, "The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto the heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever. Amen." When the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel, if you don't believe that God allows you to go through difficult times, think about Paul, the great evangelist, probably one of the greatest Christians who ever walked the face of the earth. This man went through more trials than we could ever imagine in our mind. You know, sometimes we think that we go through trials because someone says something about us as a Christian, or they put you down as a child of God, or they make mockery of the church or your belief in God. Think about what Paul went through. Paul went through all kinds of things. He went through perils on water when he was shipwrecked. I mean, he was robbed. He was stoned. I mean, he was bitten by wild beasts, all kinds of things. And God allowed it to happen for his good. The word good in the Greek language means one of a kind. It isn't by accident that Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. He's not just a shepherd, but he is called the Good Shepherd. That's what he says. And the Good Shepherd always does what is best for the sheep, not what the sheep think is best. You know, sometimes there's a conflict with us in life, isn't it? We kind of feel like we know what's best for us. And so when we pray, sometimes we pray selfishly. God, here's what we want you to do for us. We want you to do this, God. And God looks down upon us and he says, "I know what you want. I know what you want me to do, but you know what? Here's what I think I need to do." And he does what is best for us. He says, "No problem is too big for me to solve." Think about it. No problem about me is too big for the God who is above me. He guards us. You ever thought about how many times he guards you? Sometimes we get involved in a lot of things. You know, automobile accidents. Audrey and I were in an automobile accident almost 2 years ago, rear-ended, you know, by another car. And, you know, I wonder why those kind of things happen. I mean, if God guards me, why does that happen? Then I got to thinking about, you know, if that had not happened, I might have been killed down at another traffic light. God guards us. Sometimes it's hard for us to see how he does that. But he does. And you may go through a little crisis momentarily, but you'll get beyond that crisis and God will be leading you and he will be guiding you. And he always does. And then there's one last thought here, and that is that God will get me to my final destination. He guards me, he guides me, and he directs me. And he will direct me to my final destination. Isn't that what he said? Several years ago, President Bush came up with this philosophy of no child left behind. Now, whether that's working or not, I'm not here to debate that. But all I'm saying is I thought it was a great concept. You know, that we don't want to leave anybody behind, but we want to move on into the future. And we want to make everybody feel that they are important. And they should be. And you know what? I suppose that when Jesus saw those disciples and everybody around him and he called them sheep, you know, he was looking after every one of them. He was. Just like a shepherd looks after all their sheep. And they do. And as I said, sheep are often defenseless. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I mentioned this to you once before, but you know, I don't know of anybody, any school, at least in the area, that has a mascot that's called a sheep, do you? I mean, we got the Natchez Tigers. We got the Westwood Panthers. We got the Palestine Wildcats, don't we? We got the Crockett Bulldogs, the John Tyler Lions. The only thing that comes close would be the Elkhart Elks. And no slam against the Elks. But you know, there's something very interesting about sheep. I've never seen, and sheep go through problems just like people do. I've never seen sheep rubbing their hooves together saying, what are we going to do? Never have I. The concern of the sheep can never be greater than the care of the shepherd. God leads us. Most shepherds believed in biblical times that if they could get 50% of the flock to market, then they would be doing real well. Because I said some of them would wander off cliffs and they would die. And maybe some of you have seen that Italian painting of that one sheep that's off on a cliff somewhere. And you picture the good shepherd going to retrieve that sheep. Well, that's what God does for us. When we wander off, God comes after us. And he wants to bring us safely back to the fold. But sometimes sheep were killed by wild beasts. And so they felt that if they could get 50% of the flock or the herd to the marketplace, and they were doing well. But you know what? Jesus doesn't want to lose one. And he told another story one time about the good shepherd that left the 99 that were safe in the fold to go and find the one sheep that had gone astray. Luke chapter 15. And you know what? God is concerned about every sheep that goes astray. He said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. I'm thankful tonight that he does lead us. And I think sometimes in our lives we have a tendency to forget that. And it creates great anxiety in our heart. But you know, if you could just really put that in your mind every day, you know what? God is going to lead me. He's going to guide me. He's going to direct me sometimes when we don't know which way to go. And we're going through problems and people pray about it all the time. And say, God, you know, help me, help me. If we just have to remember, God, put it in my mind what I need to do. Put it in my mind where I need to go. Put it in my mind the decision that needs to be made. And when we do that, God does it. He does. I hope tonight, if you're going through a crisis in your life, and you may be, and you know, you may not want the church to know about it. Sometimes we're reluctant to ever open up and really allow disclosure to come for whatever reason. And whether you respond tonight publicly to the invitation of Christ, I hope that when you leave this place, you'll have a greater resolve to allow God to lead you and to guide you. And again, I would refer you to the book of Proverbs 6:23, where Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him. And that doesn't just mean to say God, but to acknowledge him. Means to lean on him, to draw strength from him, guidance from him. Listen to what it says. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He'll lead you where you need to be. So I'm telling you, let me encourage you to do it. Let me challenge you to do it. Pray about it tonight. God, lead me tomorrow. I'm just going to open myself up to your leading. I'm going to quit trying to chart my course. I'm going to let you lead me, put it in my mind what I need to do, and I'll follow. There's an old song that we sing that says, where he leads me, I will follow. I hope that's what you'll do. If you're not a Christian tonight, it begins with acknowledging Christ and becoming a sheep and following the Good Shepherd. And through a penitent heart and an obedience to Christ in baptism, then you can become his child. And you'll be a part of the great sheepfold of God. He'll be your shepherd and he will lead you. And you can truthfully join David in saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. For he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He'll be with you tonight if you lean upon him. And we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. And if you feel compelled or the need to respond in a public way to the Savior's call, then we would invite you to do that even now as we stand and as we sing.